Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up, recipes using kohlrabi. What is it? We'll find out. And other vegetables, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth, right here on What's for Dinner. What's for Dinner is brought to you in part by Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department with delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And sometimes I cook real flops. And with me in the studio today, my good friend and foodie, Marjorie Paust. Welcome, Marjorie.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mindy.
How are you?
Oh, we're doing great.
Good, yeah. Good. So, you know, I usually start off this section of What's for Dinner talking about what I had for dinner over the week and the weekend. I call it Sunday dinner, but it's not always just Sunday. And actually, last night, we ordered a pizza.
Oh, good.
I just, you know, we were out and about a lot, and I just was thirsty. I just wanted a beer and a piece of pizza. And I ordered from Studebaker's, and it was a Norma Jean pizza with extra sauce.
Oh,
so it was
good.
The chicken pizza with the white sauce. It was super good. So, folks, extra sauce on that. Yum. Very good. How about you?
Well, we had an interesting weekend because one thing I like to celebrate is the color of the year. And this year the color was radiant orchid, which is really bad for food.
Right.
Because there's just nothing that's really orchid-y. So we said, we'll expand it to anything purple.
Uh-huh.
So that opens it up a little bit, but really not a lot.
Uh-huh.
So we had a lot of things made with beets.
Right. There you have the orchid.
Right. So we had pickled beets, of course. We had hummus with beets added to, which is a real pretty color. I made pesto with beets.
Ooh, beet pesto. What'd you put in that?
Just left out the greens.
Uh-huh.
So it had the garlic and the...
the nuts.
And, right, lots of olive oil, salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had one person make beet ice cream.
Ooh.
Which was nice, because, of course, beets are a pretty sweet vegetable. Mm-hmm. And then desserts were interesting, of course. What I found, the thing that came closest to color was this... you took blackberries and smushed them and mixed them with cream or ice cream or yogurt or whatever, and that was really close. So I made a tiramisu sort of, but made it in orchid instead of with coffee. And we had plum cake. We had panna cotta. So there was quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then along with purple cabbage and purple potatoes and blue corn chips and coleslaw.
Okay, I didn't think about the blue corn chips.
Yeah, so it was pretty good.
Did you take a picture of the table before you everybody dug in?
Yeah, there was.
Good.
And then people wore orchid or violet or purple. And it's amazing how much purple people have in their closets. We even came up with two people with ties, purple ties. So it was a lot of fun. But I'm ready to move on to a new color.
A new color, yeah. So what is the color of next year? Do you know yet?
They won't say till January.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a big super secret.
Okay. Well, this week, I know. I made a really good hominy chicken pozole, which I have some leftovers, and I wish I would have remembered to bring today for lunch. I forgot it. But hopefully Rodney had some for lunch. But, you know, I cooked some pork verde, a couple weeks ago, just a big pork shoulder. And I cooked it with verde sauce, and basically I just threw in some verde enchilada sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I cooked it over.
Nice.
Yeah, I just put a bunch of, you know, cilantro and garlic and all that. And I cooked it overnight in my crock pot because the next morning I wanted to make a bunch of pork enchiladas to take camping. But all of that wonderful sauce and juice that was left over, I put it into jars and stuck it in the back of my refrigerator and let the fat kind of seal it up.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to use that. So there it sat, and I thought, I've got to get that out now and use it up. You know, once it's sealed with the fat, you can...
It'll keep for a while.
It'll keep for a little while longer.
Yeah.
So I just put it in. I scooped off the fat, and I put it into a pot and added some chicken broth and a couple cans of hominy, and I browned up some chicken legs and then put the chicken legs in there and dressed it up just a little bit. And it just made a super quick chicken pozole. So everybody, don't throw those drippings away. Keep them and use them for your soups and stews because they're already full of flavor.
That sounds delicious.
It was super good. Yeah. I love hominy. And why I never remember to just buy a can of it. I've also cooked it from the dry corn, too. Yeah.
Oh, I've never done that one.
I have. And it makes a really good broth. But anyway, and then, you know, just with a little butter and salt and pepper, even some of that hominy is super great. So there you go. I made that. And then I also made, I talked a couple weeks ago or last week about apricot preserves. And I made a bunch of apricot preserves, put some up.
Those apricots at the store were very nice.
They were great.
They were good, yep.
And that's where I got them.
After I heard you last week, I went and bought some.
Mm-hmm. I think other people did, too, because there were quite a few less.
Yeah.
A fewer ones when I went back to get some. So I was glad about that. And I made a bunch of apricot preserves. And so then I was on the apricot kick and we made some apricot ginger empanadas to sell at the market with the sprouts. So
nice.
Thanks to folks who showed up to the market and bought some of those empanadas and greens from the sprouts. Those are so easy to make, and I have the recipe for that. Have you ever made an empanada?
No, I haven't.
Well, this dough is really easy. It just takes 2.5 cups of flour, a stick of butter, a tablespoon of salt, and a tablespoon of sugar, one egg yolk, and some cold water. So it's just about like making a
pie crust,
yeah. And so you just mix it all up together, put your egg yolk in, and then once it's all incorporated, I used my fingers, and usually you don't want to use your fingers because of the heat from your fingers melting the butter, but I really wanted to make sure the butter was incorporated and really mushed into the flour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I add the egg yolk, then the cold water, and pull it all together and form it into balls. Just nice size balls. And the key to making a good empanada is just using your tortilla press.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. It turns out every single time is to just, you know, one press, put it between I usually use like a quart bag, a heavy duty quart Ziploc baggie, cut it open. And then put your round ball of dough in there, press it down once with your tortilla press, turn it, press it again, so that it's even on all sides, and then it's perfect. I usually will lay that out onto the cookie sheet spoon a little bit of filling onto that. Not much. Doesn't take much. If it's my filling was a little watery. You know, I cooked the apricot and ginger together with some sugar, and it cooked down super quick and made that nice juice. So I had to be careful. Couldn't put too much in, but I had nice chunks in there too. And then just, I didn't even need to use the egg around the outside because I just would use a little of the juice.
Oh, sure.
Fold it over, crimp it down with the fork. A little bit of egg wash using the whites from the egg yolk. A little bit of water mixed together. And bake it for 15 minutes. That's it. It's coming out. Sprinkle it with a little bit of raw sugar.
That would be a really nice size, too. Do it in the tortilla press.
It is. I mean, and it takes up the whole size of the tortilla press. You just, you have to experiment with the size of the ball of dough because you don't want it to be too small because then you can't fit any filling in unless you're using something like a pumpkin filling or something that's going to hold its shape. But anyway, that's the apricot ginger empanada. If you really liked those, that's the recipe for that, and I can also send it to you. So that was good, and I have a little bit of leftover filling.
That's always nice.
My family wants some. Rodney had to buy one for $3 the other night because I was like, wait a minute, we're using those. And so he said, well, here you go then.
Yeah.
Put $3 down on the table. I'm so mean. And then, Evelyn really wanted biscuits and gravy yesterday morning. So I said, yes, I'll definitely make those for you. She's kind of becoming this biscuits and gravy addict. I don't make it at home, but it seems like every time we go somewhere on vacation or we're at a restaurant now, she wants the biscuits and gravy. Really? Yeah. So she's really checking that out. And I hadn't made biscuits and gravy in a long, long time.
No, I haven't either.
So I just, Betty Crocker's buttermilk biscuit recipe, which is a half a cup of butter, couple cups of all-purpose flour, a couple teaspoons of baking powder, tablespoon of sugar. Of course, you need a teaspoon of salt and a quarter teaspoon baking soda, 3/4 cup of buttermilk, and you just mix the flour with the powder, the baking soda, and salt. Cut the butter into it, just like you do a pie crust. And stir in the buttermilk until the dough leaves the side of the bowl. It's nice and sticky. And then you just kind of pour that all out onto a floured surface. And I just use one of those. Have you ever seen those at IKEA? They have those nice little light blue mats now. They're like $1.99.
Yeah. What I have is not blue.
Yeah, but
I wonder if they have them in Orchid.
I know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway, those are super nice because you can just roll them out on your table and you don't have a whole big mess to clean up. But I just use that, turn it out, pat it down, and knead it about 10 times. And then I don't even cut mine in rounds. I just put it into a big kind of a rectangle and cut it into squares and bake.
Anything with buttermilk is going to be good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then for the gravy part, I just used one of those frozen rolls of, I used Jimmy Dean. So, you know, flavorful.
Yep.
Just cook that up, and I added probably 1/4 cup of flour. Once it was cooked up, I let it cool. Then I made my biscuits, and then I sprinkled that over the top, and then a little bit of butter, and then heated it back up. Then added, I had goat's milk. It was nice and rich. And
nice.
And I added a little bit of red pepper flakes, a little bit of nutmeg, some parsley, salt and pepper, and it was good.
I can see why she liked it. Yeah.
It was good, you know, and there was the four of us, and we actually made, she had orange juice. We had mimosa, just one each. It was perfect. Grandma came over, and we just had a nice breakfast. That was perfect. So that's Sunday dinner at my house. That's all I have to share. That was not a flop.
No, it sounds marvelous.
But I made probably some flops too this week, but I try not to share those.
Well, you know, Julia Child said, never apologize. Never apologize for your food. Just smile and people think it's wonderful.
And that's it for Sunday dinner. Coming up next, we have veggies, recipes about veggies. And what is kohlrabi? Joe Vicnicki asked for some recipes. So here you go, Joe. That's coming up next. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Inga's Galley, serving locally grown food and fresh caught seafood, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, and salads, with heated outdoor seating on Main Street in downtown Petersburg. Inga's Galley, with beer and wine available at 772-2090. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And with me today in the studio is Marjorie Paust. Thanks, Marjorie, for coming today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
So have you cooked kohlrabi before?
You know, I think we grew it one year, but it was not a great favorite. So I'm curious to see what you have to say. It sure looks cool.
It does look cool, and you can eat it all. And I can say that I'm not really, I've never really cooked kohlrabi either. And, well, and it doesn't, it's not kohlrabi, I don't think. It's kohlrabi. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Okay.
But Joe Vicnicki bought some, I think from Farragut Farm, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And they were just back this weekend. I noticed they had more.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't buy any because I bought, I had some other things, and I also bought Romanesco, which is another one of those vegetables.
I don't know that one.
The Romanesco is the half kind of cauliflower, half broccoli, the green cauliflower. Christmas tree one.
Yeah.
So I did some research on kohlrabi, and it's so easy to grow here, really. It likes cool weather, mm-hmm. spring or fall. And you can get it in a deep purple. You can grow it in a deep purple or a vibrant green. That one would have been a good one for your party this weekend.
Yeah, I knew it was.
So, in some, you know, in German it means cabbage. It can also mean turnip. So it's another name is German turnip, stem turnip, cabbage turnip, and in some countries, it's grown as cattle feed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Happy cows.
Yeah. Yep. And it's very common in Indian cooking. When I looked it up, there were a ton of Indian recipes, which you love Indian food, and you're really good at cooking it. So I do have one recipe to share with you today that's Indian, using kohlrabi. And the root is actually the swollen stem of the plant. If you look it up on the internet, that is the root, and it's topped by leaves that resemble kale or collards, which you can also eat. Found a couple recipes for stuffed kohlrabi leaves.
Whoa, fun.
And I'm not going to give this recipe out, but there was one where he actually blanched the leaf and then stuffed it with a pork mixture, just like a if you'd make some sort of a meatball, and then stuffed it, rolled it up, and then, but he rolled it in a plastic wrap.
Okay.
Okay, a couple times, and then secured the ends by twisting them, kind of like you'd make like a homemade candy or something, and actually boiled it that way.
Huh.
You know, in the water, and then that cooked, and I don't know.
Almost
seems
like
kind of funny. Kind of, yeah. But I didn't bring that recipe today. And it should be firm when you buy it, no spongy bits or any brown spots. And the leaves should, you know, if they're attached, they should be green and they shouldn't be wilted or moldy.
Right.
So there you have it. What to do with it? You can keep it in your veggie drawer for several weeks so it keeps well. But the bulbs become woodier, and, you know, the longer that you store them. Use the leaves, and you can wrap the leaves in damp paper towels and store them no longer than like 2 to 3 days. Don't store them with the leaves. Take the leaves off. Use them or get rid of them. And you do need to peel the bulb. It's got an outer layer that you'll want to peel. And so cooking it, it's like you can use it, you can roast it and quarter it like potatoes, toss it with olive oil, make a puree, make a gratin. You can steam it, grill it, eat it raw, cook it with lemon juice, make a slaw. So there's all sorts of things that you can do, and you can cook the greens by boiling them in salted water, sauteing them in olive oil with garlic, and you can eat them raw or throw them in a stir fry. So that's a little bit of information about kohlrabi. Now I can't wait to actually buy some myself and try it, but I do have a couple different recipes to share with you before we talk about other veggies, which we're going to talk about too. Here's a quick stew or a quick slaw. So kohlrabi cut into matchsticks, some apple, probably green, cut into matchsticks, a little bit of olive oil, some lemon juice, salt and pepper, and you just mix it all together, and you got yourself this really nice slaw. That sounds good, doesn't it?
And sounds very fast.
It does sound fast.
Yeah.
If you slice the apple and slice the kohlrabi in thin slices first and then turn them over, it'll be super easy to make the matchsticks.
Yep.
What would you serve that with?
Whatever.
Pork.
It could be good with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, pork came to mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Because of the apple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be fun to have on a picnic.
It would be.
I bet it would travel well.
Mm-hmm. A little squeeze of lemon. Oh, it's already in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it would travel well. Here's another one. This one is super easy. This one and super healthy. You need some water, two medium turnips, a raw carrot, one small raw potato, a teaspoon of olive oil, a tablespoon of salt, some black pepper, some parsley, and onions. And the turnips are, that's where you put the kohlrabi. The two medium turnips would be the two medium kohlrabi. And so you're going to boil the kohlrabi, cube it and boil it. Make sure you take off the skin. Also, carrot and potato until soft. Then you're going to mash it in a blender and add some salt. You also add chopped onion, pepper, and olive oil. Bring it to a boil. Chop the parsley and add it all together, the tap water, and it's a soup. It's a kohlrabi soup.
Sounds like a comfort food.
I know.
Especially for a rainy, cold day.
It's not a real chunky soup because you're mashing the turnips and the carrots and the potatoes. And,
So
bring it all together, bring it to a boil. And so delicious. So really the only pieces you have are the chopped onion and that. And then you've got the parsley, but everything else is kind of creamed together with the water. And so there's no milk in this recipe or cheese, but you could take a little bit of cheese and shred it on top or have a nice crusty bread or.
I think I would even saute the onions.
I would too. Yeah, this recipe doesn't say that, but I'm like you. Saute it before you put it in a recipe. Mm-hmm. And this is what I mentioned to Joe that he should do with it the other day is to make like a gratin. That I bet it would be good with that. And sure enough, I found a really good kohlrabi and spinach gratin. It's hard to find fresh spinach right now that hasn't bolted, but there's plenty of it at both grocery stores.
Yeah.
And then the spinach is coming again, the fresh spinach. But you need, so for this gratin, you need a tablespoon of sunflower oil, or if you don't have sunflower, any oil will do. Some butter, plus a little more for greasing a dish, because you're going to put it in a gratin pan.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of medium onions, halved and finely sliced. Salt and freshly ground black pepper. Your kohlrabi, peeled and cut into 3 millimeter thick rounds. And this one calls for, I think it's a probably 2 peeled kohlrabi. And then some potatoes, peeled and cut into 3 millimeter rounds. A couple teaspoons of thyme leaves chopped. Some cream. Some chicken stock or water or vegetable stock. A big handful of baby spinach, or you can have the spinach mixed with kohlrabi leaves.
Oh.
So use the whole thing, and 1 tablespoon of chopped parsley. And then it has a topping of breadcrumbs, butter, and cheddar or a hard goat's cheese, grated goat's cheese.
Be nice.
So you preheat your oven to 375, and you put some oil and butter into the pan, add your sliced onions and some salt and saute them until they're soft, about 12 minutes. Then you put in the kohlrabi, potatoes, and thyme, and season with salt and pepper, and toss it all together and cook for about 5 more minutes, and it'll take on the flavor of all that. Pour over the cream and stock. Simmer gently until the liquid is reduced by half. Stir in the spinach and parsley, then pour it all into a lightly buttered gratin dish. So you're cooking it all together first, mm-hmm. and then level it out with a spatula, put it on a baking tray, put together the breadcrumbs, butter, and cheese in a blender, sprinkle it over the filling, and bake it for 35 to 40 minutes.
That's the one I think Joe should do.
Yeah.
Whoa, that sounds good.
So if you bought the kohlrabi there and you don't know what to do with it, this one sounds really good. The kids will like this.
Yeah.
It's got cream and egg, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
But you can also see, check at Hammer and Weekon, see if they have any leftover kohlrabi up there. I have seen it up there.
Yeah, I've seen it, but.
Yeah. And so that's absolutely delicious. And then another au gratin recipe, you know, is same thing. Melt the butter in the saucepan, add your onions, butter your casserole dish, and then you just layer the kohlrabi with onions and cheese and cream, and you bake it that way in the for 45 minutes. So it's a little bit different. You're not making a topping. I like the other one, but
I like the other one.
This one is less work.
Yeah. I like the thyme in it, too.
And the potatoes.
Yeah.
I love thyme.
And did you know that Bolt's, it has a purple flower?
Yes.
It's everywhere.
Was there a lot of garnish on the with thyme?
There was some. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
On black cod, it was delicious.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can also make some kohlrabi and summer squash fritters.
Mm-hmm.
I love making fritters and pancakes out of squash and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So here's a fritter recipe. You need 2 large kohlrabi, about 3 inches in diameter, peeled. You really don't want to, apparently, kohlrabi over about 5 inches in diameter is getting a little tough then.
Okay.
You want them medium-sized. And then one medium zucchini, 2 eggs, a teaspoon of salt and pepper, 1 tablespoon of all-purpose seasoning. I guess you could use Old Bay or something like that if you like. I'm not a big Old Bay fan, but some people are.
Some people like it.
But if you're going to use an all-purpose seasoning, it's whatever you like paprika, garlic, salt, pepper, onion powder.
Mm-hmm.
Some thyme, a 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of chives, three a third of a cup of parsley chopped, and a third of a cup of whole wheat flour. So using a grater or a food processor, you're going to shred the kohlrabi and the zucchini. You're going to, this here says, scramble the eggs in another bowl, add in the salt, pepper, and all-purpose seasoning. I don't think you're putting them on, you're not scrambling them in a pan. You're just mixing them. Mm-hmm. Mix in the chives, the parsley, the baking powder, the flour, and the zucchini, and the kohlrabi. So put it all together. Add in the eggs. Slowly add the flour a little bit at a time so it has a pancake consistency. Mm-hmm. And use a nonstick spray or a touch of oil. And add it a quarter cup at a time, pressing down slightly, and cook for about a minute and a half on each side. Serve with sour cream or spicy remoulade sauce.
It's always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, you could make almost like a salad out of it, too. You could add, you could put greens around it and other vegetables, cut up tomatoes, and kind of mound it over the top. It would be good. Be a great appetizer in a restaurant.
It would.
Or in your own restaurant, in your own kitchen. And, oh, do you know what I saw on a TV show the other day? Bacon marmalade. Have you ever heard of it?
Whoa.
I was going to look it up and give a recipe, but not today, but I'm going to. I couldn't believe it. It was a pizza somebody was making with a bacon marmalade. And, they, of course, they make the bacon marmalade in-house in their restaurant, and then they put it on a pizza. But I could think of so many things that you could do with that.
Oh, there's so much with bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Even bacon and chocolate, yeah. Which I didn't care for that much.
Okay, and I wanted to give you this. I have a couple more recipes, but we're going to talk about a few other vegetables. Here's the one that you're going to like, I bet, Marjorie. Okay. This is curried coconut red lentil soup with kohlrabi.
I like it already.
Yeah. This one is a, you use onion, a clove of garlic, a carrot, half of a kohlrabi, a cup of red lentils, a can of coconut milk, 2 cups of vegetable stock, a teaspoon of curry powder, salt, and some cilantro for garnish. Prep the vegetables by dicing the onion, mince the garlic, dice the carrot, peel and cube the kohlrabi. Pour the coconut milk into a measuring cup. And you're going to just measure, I think, about 1 cup of it. Let's see what it says. Heat the oil in the soup pot. Of course, add your onions and saute. Add your garlic. Mm-hmm. Add your carrots and kohlrabi. Cook for a few minutes. Add your lentils. Toss to coat. Season with the curry powder and salt. Then add 1 cup of coconut milk and 2 cups of stock.
Hmm.
Boil it. Reduce to a high simmer, stirring frequently, and let the lentils soak up the liquid. Then, at the end of that, add the rest of the coconut milk and simmer for 10 more minutes. Then take the soup off the heat and let it sit covered for a few minutes. Chop up the fresh cilantro and sprinkle on top of the soup.
It's good.
Yeah. So there's lots you can do with kohlrabi. If you look it up on the internet, there's lots of raw kohlrabi recipes, like salads and slaws. Mm-hmm. And then there's lots of soups and there's stews, all sorts of. So that's kohlrabi. What's your favorite vegetable, Marjorie?
My favorite vegetable is eggplant.
Okay.
Which just happens to be purple. But once you cook it, of course.
Yeah.
I think what I like about eggplant, well, first I like it physically because it's so smooth in such a beautiful shape. And sometimes I've even used that as a centerpiece, just a couple. But I think what I like best is how many different cuisines use eggplant. So, like, if you're going to cook it Italian, then you do eggplant parmesan with sauce and cheese. If you want to do Greek, then you do moussaka, which is a lot
like
that, with a blancmange sauce on top. If you're going Thai, then you do green curry. If you're doing Chinese, you do stir fry. If you're doing Russian, I'm not sure this is really Russian, but eggplant caviar, where you take the eggplant and chop it up real fine and cook it with onions and a whole bunch of olive oil. And it kind of does, you can pretend that it's caviar and then have it on crackers or whatever. It's really tasty. And I like it because you can roast it. You can roast it with other vegetables, particularly summer veggies, which we're doing now. You can saute it. You can stuff it. You can do it in the oven. I don't like to deep fry. And one thing with eggplant is it will absorb as much oil as you give it. So when I'm doing a lot of the other ones, instead of frying it first, which is the way my aunts always did it, you know, you fry it.
Right.
What I do is I cut it into half inch or a little bit bigger circles, put it on a cookie sheet, spray it with Pam or whatever, bake it 5 minutes at 500 degrees, and then flip it, spray it again, and bake the other side. I put a little bit of usually garlic salt on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're all set for your Parmesan, for your moussaka, for whatever you want to do, or slap it between some bread for a sandwich.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Which is really, really good.
Yes.
Instead of hamburgers, have eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, so you just, on 500, did you say? Real
500,
high?
5 minutes.
And it just kind of
it cooks
browns it. Perfect.
Yeah, and it doesn't burn. I used to do it under the broiler, but you have to watch it really carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And by spraying it, and I spray it quite a bit, but you don't get all of that oil, but you still have a good piece of eggplant to work with.
Mm, yeah.
So that's what we like. That's what I like.
Well, I love, we tend to grow a lot of greens around the house this time of the year, and we can get them in town. You can get great Swiss chard right now. Wonderful kale is everywhere. Oh my gosh. And of course, I gave a recipe for kale chips not long ago, but this is a really nice, very delicious pasta. This is a Swiss chard and lemon ricotta pasta.
Ooh.
And in case you're wondering what to do with some of that Swiss chard, 3 cups of raw Swiss chard sliced and a couple handfuls of spaghetti, dried spaghetti, a couple strips of bacon. If you want to leave the bacon out, you can. No big deal. But if I were to make this this week, I'd definitely put in the bacon. Cut it into quarter-inch slices, half of a large shallot minced, some olive oil, third of a cup of ricotta, 2 tablespoons of Parmesan, a zest of from half of a lemon, quarter of a teaspoon of salt, and a pinch of red pepper flakes, and I always use those. And it just, you can already taste this lemony ricotta. I mean, I'm thinking of it already. Blanch the Swiss chard for about 5 minutes, and then drain it well and squeeze out the water, and then chop it up, set it aside. So don't just throw it in raw. And then cook your spaghetti noodles in that same water.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And then retain about a cup of cooking liquid from the noodles after you drain the noodles. That way you can use it for the sauce. Fry the bacon until it's crispy. Add the shallot and saute it. Add a little olive oil if you need it. Add in the Swiss chard. Give it a toss. It'll have that nice bacon flavor to it, too. And then combine the ricotta, the Parmesan, and the small bowl. Add the lemon, salt, and red pepper. Add to the Swiss chard mixture in the saute pan. Mix well. Add your cooked spaghetti to that.
Oh.
And then some pasta water if you need. And it'll just be this nice creamy, lemony.
Swiss chardy.
Yes.
Bacony.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Nice.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
I would maybe add in. Well, it's 3 cups of Swiss chard. This serves 4, so that's good. That's a lot of Swiss chard.
That's
you know, the greens really cook down.
And I like on Switch Chart to use the stems and the leaves.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, if the stems are too tough, you can always pound them down with something. Mm-hmm. Just kind of give them a little pound, and that's going to soften them up right there.
Do it.
And I guess I have a couple other recipes, but before we run to the next section, I want to remind our volunteers that we're having a barbecue here at KFSK on Wednesday for volunteers like you, Marjorie. And we'll be cooking some hamburgers and things on the grill. I'm also going to make some black bean burgers, I think.
Oh, nice.
So, vegetarian option. Uh-huh. And I've made white bean burgers with turkey before. And Suzanne Ash was in here the other day, who's a volunteer. We were talking. She said she made some black bean burgers. And I said, oh, that would sound, that sounds good. So here's a quick and easy recipe for some homemade black bean burgers. You need, this one calls for one hamburger bun torn into pieces.
Okay.
So we're going to use that as a kind of a binding. 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 teaspoons of chopped garlic, 1 can of black beans rinsed and drained, so it's fast. You don't have to soak mm-hmm. them or anything. Some grated lime rind, about a teaspoon. 3/4 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/2 teaspoon of chopped fresh oregano, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 large egg, lightly beaten, and 1 large egg white, lightly beaten. So you put the bun in a food processor and process it up until the crumbs, till it's crumbly, it measures about 1 cup. Transfer it to a bowl, and then you're going to take 1 tablespoon of oil, garlic, and beans in the processor and pulse that until the beans make a thick paste. Just pulse it. Boom, gotcha. Boom, 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 boom. Just a couple times. Scrape the big bean mixture into the breadcrumbs. Stir in the rind and remaining ingredients. Divide the bean mixture into 4 equal portions. That's basically it. You're going to cook them in a skillet with some oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. So a quick black bean burger. You definitely don't want to have a paste. You just want to have
right.
nice chunks and enough to hold it all together.
Yep.
So I'm going to make it, I think, on a Tuesday and let it sit overnight.
That would probably be a smart.
See what happens.
Yeah. I used to make a lentil meatloaf. That was really good, too.
Mm.
Lentils and walnuts and stuff.
And that's our veggie talk for today. I hope you could think about buying some kohlrabi. Try it out. I'm going to try some. I bet Marjorie now will probably try some.
Yeah, we'll have to try it.
And if you want to have any of these recipes, you can email mindy@kfsk.org. And coming up next, we have the drink of the week. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, featuring Dancing with DJ Oren every Friday night and Alvin on Saturdays, featuring pre-mixed summer cocktails and Alaskan free ride and amber in cans. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store on Singley Alley and open 7 days a week.
You clap your hands and you swing out wide. Do the Susie Q mix in a step or two. Put them all together and you're doing the jive. Or you stomp your feet. You swing out wide. Mess around a while, shake.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. We're talking about the drink of the week. And with thinking about watermelons and melons, the other night Rodney made us a frutas con leche, which is one of my favorite drinks down in Mexico. In Acapulco, you can get these, but they're hard to find in other areas, even though you can get cantaloupe. But this is just some cantaloupe, some water, a little bit of, milk, a little bit of sugar, and some ice cubes, and you just blend it until smooth and serve it with a straw.
Okay.
And it's just this, the flavor of the cantaloupe, it's like just a sweet cantaloupe milk. It's so good. So there's one drink. And another drink is just the watermelon agua frescas, or using any cubed. You could use cantaloupe or honeydew melon, but this is watermelon. And I'm sure Shalane will be bringing some delicious watermelons this week.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. And then you can get them in the stores, too. And so good time for watermelon right now. 4 cups of cubed seedless watermelon, cantaloupe or honeydew, 2 cups of cold water, and 1/4 cup of sugar. And process the fruit in a blender until smooth. Scrape down the sides if needed. Pour the mixture into a fine wire mesh strainer into a pitcher. Discard the solids. Stir in 2 cups of cold water. Cover and chill until ready to serve, and serve over ice. So it's just a really great watermelon juice with a little sugar, sweetened up a little bit more. You could put mint in that. You can dress that up so many ways. And this doesn't have any alcohol in it. But you can, you know, add rum or whatever else you want to it to, like, make it more of an adult drink for a party. But this would be great for, like, a potluck. So we were talking about, there's a potluck coming up.
Right. So, we're having a farewell potluck for Rob and Susan Thomason. And that's going to be this Sunday coming up, August 3rd at 12:15 at the Presbyterian Church. And if you would like, bring a salad, bread, or chocolate dessert.
Mm.
So, should be interesting to see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a pesto salad with, I think, shrimp.
Ooh. In it. With greens and shrimp?
Yeah, green pesto.
Mm. So. Nice. And this watermelon?
That would be nice.
Yeah, to share with people. That would be a very nice treat. Watermelon. Ooh. Yeah. So maybe somebody will make that.
Maybe.
Giving them the idea. That's the drink of the week. And before we leave What's for Dinner today, I had to have my sweet tooth.
Oh, yes.
Because I love sautéed fruit. I love sautéed or grilled fruit. I just love it, love it, love it. I love it how it caramelizes, everything about any sort of sautéed fruit. But this from Food 52 is a rosemary roasted peaches with salted caramel sauce.
Wow.
I know. Just salt, caramel, rosemary, peaches, all of it. It sounds so good.
Great.
So here is the recipe for this. I have to share it. All right. So this, you need 3/4 cup of raw sugar and 3 tablespoons of chopped rosemary, enough from like 1 or 2 big leafy sprigs, 4 firm ripe peaches pitted and halved. And another reason I wanted to choose the peaches is because peaches are so good right now.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So you need the peaches, 4 of them, kosher salt, and a couple tablespoons of unsalted butter. For the salted caramel sauce, you need 1 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of, this one calls for corn syrup or golden syrup, but I think I would use maple syrup because that's what I have at home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't like corn syrup and all that, but so you can substitute.
Sure.
1/2 cup of heavy cream, 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and fleur de sel to taste. All right. So here's how it goes. You got to make the rosemary sugar. In the food processor, you need the raw sugar, the chopped rosemary. Process it for about 30 seconds or until it's well integrated. And you probably won't use it all for this recipe, but you can use it to sweeten iced tea, put it over fresh fruit. You could even use it in that watermelon fresca that we just talked about. That would be good. Then you're going to pan roast your peaches. So preheat the oven to 425. Sprinkle the cut sides of the peaches with the rosemary sugar. and a little bit of salt. And then put those in the oven. Or I think we get ready to put them in the oven. Let's see. Meanwhile, melt the butter in a cast iron skillet. Arrange the peaches in the skillet. Cut side down. Okay, there we go. Cut side down. Cook for 3 to 5 minutes. And then they're going to throw off some juice, and they're going to start browning a little bit. And, oh, my goodness. Then transfer the skillet to the oven and roast for about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Flip the peaches, drizzle with the butter, and continue roasting for another 5 to 10 minutes until tender. And that's how they're going to get nice and brown. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be so good.
Mm-hmm. Then make the salted caramel sauce. Combine the sugar, the syrup, quarter cup of water in a deep saucepan. Cook over medium heat, stirring once or twice until the sugar is dissolved. Then you're going to continue cooking without stirring. Swirl the pan occasionally while the sugar cooks. And make sure all the sugar crystals dissolve. Cook it until it reaches a deep amber color, about 7 to 10 minutes. Take it off the sauce, take it off the burner. So watch that. Once it's off the heat, add your heavy cream. It'll start to spatter a little bit when you make caramel. And then whisk in the butter until smooth. And there you go. Let it stand a few minutes, then add your vanilla. Season the finished caramel with a little bit of the salt.
Oh.
If you don't have the fleur de sel, you know, it's fleur de sel is a special salt. It's hard to find, but you can really just use... Don't use table salt.
No.
You know, you just use a flake salt of some sort. You can keep the caramel sauce for a while, several weeks in the fridge.
I doubt that it would keep.
I doubt it, yeah. That's it. You pour that over your delicious roasted peaches. I would definitely put a little scoop of ice cream next to that,
that's
too.
What I was gonna do.
Yeah, that would be good. Or, you know, I guess we could say, what would be healthier? I don't know.
Yogurt.
Yogurt, there you go. Frozen yogurt. And that's it.
Fantastic.
And that's our sweet tooth for today. Whoa. And that wraps up this week's What's for Dinner. Thanks for joining me today, Marjorie.
Oh, my pleasure. It was great fun, but now I'm so hungry.
I know I am too. Happy eating, everyone.